This podcast was recorded on Thursday, July 27th at 10:45 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this.
Yeah, like one of us will no longer be hosting this podcast.
Sad but true. Let's talk politics.
This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those snollygosters or shrewd politicians out there desperate for your vote. I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up in the podcast, should a political party's bylaws be the same as the Ohio state constitution?
But first, Ohio voters will decide if the state constitution should include abortion rights, if an abortion rights amendment should be enshrined in that founding document.
Supporters of the proposed amendment have qualified for the November ballot. Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose announced this week the Coalition of Abortion Rights Supporters submitted 495,000 valid signatures, well more than the 414,000 needed to qualify. Kelly Copeland is with Pro-Choice Ohio and is part of the coalition that gathered those signatures.
We're going to be able to take this issue to the voters in November to guarantee our right for reproductive freedom so that we never have to go back to where we were a year ago today, where people were unable to access abortion care that they needed and they were fleeing the state of Ohio.
Michelle Duffy is with the Catholic Conference of Ohio, and she says her group and their allies will continue fighting against expanding abortion access.
We respect life from the point of conception to the point of natural death. We reach out to all those that are on the are vulnerable.
So, Mike, abortion will be on the fall ballot. I said a couple weeks ago that I would be shocked if it did not make the ballot. What do you think? Where are you at on this? Were you surprised at all?
No, I think that, you know, the rule of thumb is you need twice as many signatures as required to make sure you have enough valid signatures to get on the ballot. They weren't quite twice as many. They were close. And the organizations that were collecting the signatures, they were doing their due diligence before they turned them in to make sure they had enough, and they had enough from all of the counties around the state. And then when those early reports came in of a 65% success rate, validity rate of the signatures they were turning in the big counties, I said, okay, they probably have made it. So, and there certainly is enough money behind this issue to get on the ballot, and it's on the ballot. So the fight is on.
The fight is on. I don't know if the campaign has, you know, publicly started. It's sort of started with issue one, with the fight to make it harder to pass this abortion rights amendment. But when would you expect pro and anti-abortion access ads to be on the air?
I think we wait until after August 8th to find out if it is, if voters decide to make it harder to change the Constitution. If issue one passes and it requires a 60% majority to get this approved by voters in November, I think the campaign could be different. I don't think either side is going to invest in anything until then, and their strategy will be based on whether we need 60% to pass it or 50% plus one to pass an amendment to the Constitution.
Ohio certainly would not be the first state to tackle this issue since it was kicked back to the states with the Dobbs decision by the U.S. Supreme Court last year. Kansas, Michigan, Kentucky, Vermont, Montana, and California have all voted on this. Abortion rights supporters prevailed in every one of those elections, notably Kansas, Kentucky, and Montana, and maybe Michigan. Michigan might be the best comp of Ohio among all these states. I would think Kentucky and Kansas more conservative than Ohio. Ohio is a red state these days, but still Kansas and Kentucky, I think, are more Republican, and they voted to guarantee abortion access.
Yeah, each one of these states was a little different, and there is some nuance in the differences between them. But the bottom line is each of those referendums was defined as a referendum on abortion rights. And in each one of those cases, the abortion rights supporters prevailed. And they prevailed by that 53 to 57% margin. And the USA Today Ohio poll released this month shows that 58% of likely Ohio voters support abortion rights as outlined in the upcoming proposed amendment. 58% of Ohio likely voters support that Roe versus Wade standard, means no restrictions up to the point of fetal viability.
You know, it's almost like anti-abortion rights groups might have known that when they wanted to raise the threshold to 60%.
Yeah, there's no coincidence
there. Right. No, of course there's not a coincidence there. And, you know, so there are massive implications here with this August 8th election that's going to happen. It's coming up. It's in 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks at this point. And a lot riding on this for both sides.
Yeah, and the election is underway. We kind of forget that as we talk about
early
election
voting.
Day. But people have been voting for 2 weeks. They have two more weeks of voting. Most votes will likely be cast on August 8th, but that's when we count the votes. And the early voting numbers are surpassing projections, but I don't know how you could make projections because this is so unusual. But a lot of people are energized. It seems like right now the folks who are against issue one are more energized than those who are for issue one. And I would be surprised at this point if issue one prevails. I cannot see it winning right now. But we don't know. We don't know what this hidden majority that supporters of issue one keep talking about, how energized they are. Jim Jordan's out with a spot staying, urging people to vote yes on one. Maybe that'll help generate some votes among rural Ohioans, among conservative Ohioans.
I just think their campaign falls flat. And they can't even really talk about abortion, right? Because 58% of Ohioans support legal abortion access, similar to the Roe v. Wade standard. So they're in a really tough spot here. They have to make this about protecting the Constitution, and that just doesn't seem to be ringing with Ohio voters. It doesn't seem to be a winning message.
You know, I've noticed it's both sides are not really focusing a lot on the abortion issue. If you listen to the talking points in the debates that were on WOSU Radio here in Columbus or Channel 4 in Columbus, the NBC affiliate did a debate this week, and it was aired statewide on TV stations around the state. And even the supporters, even the opponents of issue one did not make a huge deal out of this as a really effort to thwart the abortion amendment. They were talking about protecting the Constitution, protecting majority rule. So it almost seems like both sides are hesitant to link it to the abortion issue. But in reality, at least this election is all about the abortion issue. It will have ramifications down the road. But this, we are voting in August on this issue because of the issue of abortion.
Right. It was put on the August ballot, which didn't exist before May. It was put on the August ballot to preempt the abortion amendment. Now, it seems like issue one, if I had to bet money right now, I would say it fails. But I've been wrong before. Donald Trump was elected president of the United States.
Yes.
What happens to the pro-abortion side? What do they do if the threshold to pass is risen to 60%? Because they could conceivably still meet that. If they're at 58 in a poll, the poll has
a margin of error.
That's right. It could be at
60. Could be 4% above
and
that.
If they do, they would presumably do a good job of rallying their base. I wonder how much momentum comes out of the pro-abortion rights campaign if the threshold suddenly goes to 60%. You would think a lot.
I think there will be a vigorous campaign regardless of what happens at issue one. I do think it will be more difficult for the folks who support abortion rights to perhaps get a lot of national money. National donors could say, we're not going to win this. We're not going to get 60%. So they might be more reluctant to contribute to the vote yes on the abortion amendment side. Who knows, though? They could say, okay, you've changed the Constitution. You've made it now a 60% threshold. This is your chance. If you support abortion rights, this is your chance to really enshrine it into the Constitution. Because if we win this year, it will be extremely hard to turn it back with another amendment down the road. So I think the anti-abortion rights folks are energized no matter what. Whether it's 50% plus one or 60%, they will be very much energized to defeat this amendment. They see this as, we talked about those other states that have passed abortion rights supporting amendments and voter issues. They will see this as a way to stop that tide. In Ohio being a relatively bellwether swing state that has a diverse population will be a test for. They'll see this as a real battleground, the folks who oppose abortion rights.
Yeah, it's going to be a battleground. I think you're right. Either way, certainly it's going to be a battleground. I would think the balloon gets deflated quite a bit from the anti-abortion side if the threshold stays at 50%. Just given the results that we've seen, the six other states, including, again, Kansas and Kentucky, that have by pretty good margins approved abortion access. Abortion is why groups like Ohio Right to Life exist.
Yeah,
and
I think it's a
toss-up. They're going to go down fighting either way. I think
if it's 50% plus one, it's certainly not a slam dunk that abortion rights supporters win in November. I think it's legitimately a toss up. I think it could be.
You really think it's a toss up?
Yeah, I think it's like 53-47 tops. Poll after poll has shown that most Ohioans support abortion rights up to the point of viability, but there are very smart tacticians on the anti-abortion rights side. The state is still a red state. The governor and all Republicans will be opposed to this amendment. It is not going to be an easy win for the abortion rights supporters. It will be a real dogfight. And if it stays at 50% plus one, there'll be a lot of money coming into the state to fuel ads on both sides.
The Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast is with you to talk through what you're watching, listening to, and reading. What you need to check out this weekend, what you can skip next, it's all fair game. For pop culture in high spirits, listen to the Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast from NPR.
The other possible question that could be on the November ballot, we still don't know yet, could be one to legalize recreational marijuana. It fell about 700 signatures short of the about 124,000 needed to get on the ballot.
I was hoping they were going to fall 420 signatures short. No. Anyway, 700 signatures, there's still a good chance that supporters of Cannabis for Fun will make the ballot. They have 10 days, the so-called grace period, to find those additional signatures. Tom Herron of the Coalition to Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol says they will connect the 679 signatures they need and a lot more.
Probably more than double. I mean, you know, we'll see what the final number ends up being, but it's very confident that we will gather at least 679 valid signatures over the course of the next 10 days.
There's a USA Today poll out that says 58% of likely Ohio voters support legal recreational marijuana. That's it. It's everything's around 58-57% in these polls that we've seen recently.
Well, it's the same poll, and they just asked different questions. And this poll found that 58% of Ohioans oppose issue one. 58% of Ohio likely voters support abortion rights to the Roe standard. 58% of likely Ohio voters support legalized recreational marijuana. I'm guessing it's the same 58% of the people they questioned voted, you know, accordingly.
Yeah, and it really would regulate marijuana like alcohol. It would say if you're 21 and older, you can grow, smoke, and businesses can sell pot. Mm-hmm. And it would create a 10% sales tax with a lot of that money going to the local municipalities that have these stores to support things like education, like drug addiction, and like law enforcement that they might need. This is such an antiquated argument because it seems like, of course, why continue with prohibition at this point? But again, we're a red state. I don't think, you know, Matt Huffman, the president of the Senate, has said he will never allow a marijuana legalization question to go up for a vote. So this is not a legislature that's friendly to marijuana. That's why we're here, because this was an initiated statute they refused to move on. I think it would pass. But again, we can talk about Oklahoma in a second. So this is not a slam dunk.
No, it's not a slam dunk. It is not an election where we're going to have a huge turnout. It is an odd year election, generally reserved for local election races, not even a statewide or certainly not a presidential election year. So that will keep turnout down. And again, it comes down to turnout and can the marijuana supporters get their folks out to vote for this if it gets on the ballot. You have to figure that this is being helped by the abortion rights amendment because that will drive turnout. So I can't see one of these passing, one of these losing in an election. I think it's going to be a 2-for-2 or 0-for-2. Based on where you stand.
Yeah, on the Venn diagram, the abortion supporters and potheads, there's quite a bit of overlap.
Yeah.
Not one-to-one. But
yeah, they're very similar. It's very similar issues. Right. This, you know, the Democrats tend to support broader legalization of marijuana and tend to support abortion rights.
Anyway, time now for our Snollygoster of the Week segment. That is where we honor the shrewdest politician or political move of the week. And this week, it goes to supporters of Issue 1, the August proposed amendment that would make it harder to change the state constitution.
Among their talking points in advocating for a 60% threshold for voters to approve future amendments, they point out that the Ohio Democratic Party, which is opposing Issue 1, has a 60% threshold for any vote to change the party's bylaws.
That would seem to be inconsistent, right? What's good for the Ohio Democratic Party should be good for the state constitution, at least according to supporters of Issue 1. That is until you look at the Ohio Republican Party's bylaws.
Details. And guess what? The party, which says it should take a 60% vote to change the Ohio Constitution, only requires a simple majority to change its party's bylaws under regular circumstances.
The two parties are basically the same when it comes to changing their bylaws. If it's a special unannounced change to the bylaws, Republicans require a 2/3 or 66% vote, Democrats a 60% vote. But if it's a planned change to the Constitution, one that's that has advance notice, Democrats and Republicans can change it with a simple majority. So bottom line, Republicans can change their bylaws with a simple majority vote.
Again, it's inconsistent. But of course, both parties, while they help elected public officials, they are private organizations, not the state constitution, which is the foundation of all laws in the state.
Yeah, that's right. You can go to jail for violating the constitution. You can only get kicked out of the party for violating the state bylaws. They are literally not the same thing. They have a lot of different weight. So for trying to use a private organization's bylaws to criticize their opponents while ignoring their own party bylaws, supporters of Issue 1, you get this week's Snollygoster of the Week Award.
This is normally the part of the show where we close out and say goodbye. But before that, we wanted to make a bit of an announcement. Steve, I'll let you do the honors.
Yeah, I am leaving. I am leaving journalism altogether, and I have accepted a position with the Mental Health and Addiction Recovery Services Board that serves Delaware and Morrow County here in Central Ohio. So I am leaving Snollygoster as well. I had a good run. I gave about 20 years of my life to journalism, and I'm glad I did. But going in a different direction, I am handing the BS baton to you, so you will have to handle it by yourself. Mike, you will have to do the Snollygosters by yourself, and I hope you enjoy it.
What are we going to do without the view from Richwood?
The view from 14th and High,
yes.
where we're at now, basically at 14th and High.
Yes, in the city of Columbus on the Ohio State University campus. Well, Steve, we're going to miss you. It has been a great run for me personally, having you as a member of the WOSU News team, managing our newsroom, anchoring our morning news here in Columbus, and co-hosting this podcast with me. It has been truly an honor to work with you, and we're going to miss you. The podcast will continue. Not sure in what shape or form. We'll try to keep the same what do we call ourselves? The civil wise asses. We'll try to keep that going. It's going to be hard when we lose one of those wise asses, but we'll try. And we wish you all the best. We do. We wish you all the best. And we will stay in touch. Maybe we'll even call you once in a while to get the view from Richwood.
Please do. But for one last time, that will do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster, which is part of the NPR network. As always, please be sure to leave a good review on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you get your podcasts. And just tell your friends about us. Spread the word of mouth about this podcast. For our student producer, Katie Genius, and our digital producer, Michael DeBonis, I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.